Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch. You're listening to Michelle. On the Couch. Right here on Michelle. LA Talk Radio. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch, as you always are, on Fridays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles. And of course, we're all over the world, live, on the internet. Most irreverent, cool, entertaining talk radio station. And of course, you are officially going to get some help today. Suggestions, maybe? Ideas about helping yourself? And what I'm doing today, actually, is I'm answering listeners' questions. And I thank you guys so much for writing in and emailing me some of your thoughts and ideas. And actually, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but you know what? I'm here to give you some ideas about things that I have learned, studied, worked with patients for a very long time that, you know, kind of seem to help with things like relationships and stress management. And, gosh, how about low self-esteem, something we all have and what hits us from time to time in our lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I thank you guys for emailing me and asking me your questions at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about some of the, help that I give folks today, suggestions, ideas, give me a shout. You can call me 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or, of course, what we're doing is we are taking those emails here. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And, you know, I just have to start out with, like, the coolest email that I've gotten in a really long time. Now, the reason why I liked it is because I've never gotten an email like this because it's about fantasy. Yeah, what we fantasize in our minds about what? No, not sex. No. It's about which superhero would you like to choose? So you've done this. You've watched all the action movies and everything. You sat around with your friends, right? And you've said, what superhero powers would you have if you were one of the X-Men women? Or what? Yeah, would you be Batman? Would you be Superman? Would you be Catwoman? Would you? What superpowers would you like? So I got this really cool email from Joel. And he said, hey, Doc, great to listen. Wanted to ask you a question. Why do you suppose my therapist asked me what superhero I would like to be? What ability would I choose to have? That is a great question because, you know, there's all these different theories about why we would be maybe able to fly, why we'd want to have invisibility or X-ray vision or whatever. So, you know, I've compiled some information about different superhero qualities and what they may mean. Now, Joel, I don't know if your therapist got back to you on that, but the fact that you just asked me this question yesterday and you wanted to be on the, you know, couch with me via just listening, didn't want to get him on the air live. He said, nah, you just answer the question. I'll email you. I guess your therapist hasn't, you know, given you an idea of why he or she asked you that question, but I can give you some ideas about certain abilities that superheroes might have, why you would pick that ability. And you didn't write me which one you wanted to be, Joel. So email me, please. I want to know which one you want to be. Okay. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. So let me just tell you some of the ideas. Quick and dirty here. I've listed like 8 superhero abilities that just sort of came up in my research. So we're going to look at the ability to fly. That's a very common one. Travel time ability. Oh, yeah. Invisibility. X-ray vision. How about the power to change forms? The ability to read minds. Or the ability to see into the future. How about super hearing? I don't know if I'd want that one or not. Oh, man. I'm hearing these people talk bad about me. Yeah. And that would make you crazy because you'd hear all the chatter around you. And yeah, that was in a movie. Who did that? What was that about? Somebody write me. Tell me. So let's start out with the most obvious super ability that people talk about, and it's the ability to fly. So if you think, oh, I just love the ability to just shoot up in the air and just fly off. We all have dreams like this too. Well, not all of us, but some of us do. And those are very positive dreams, by the way, because it means you're feeling a little more free in your life. A little less control. You have more control of your life, and you feel light, not heavy, you know, the no-brainers, really, the answers to that. But so I'm going to give you concentrated answers here to all of them. So supposedly, if you want to be a flyer superhero, you like to see the big picture of life and how things fit together. Right? Hence, aerial view of everything. Little details annoy you. You enjoy being free and taking risks. Of course! You know, when you're up there flying, you're taking risks. Yeah? Right? But depends on how fast you can go and get out of there. So, supposedly, if you like the superhero quality and you'd like to be a flyer, just get up and fly off the tops of buildings. That's supposedly your personality general profile thing going on there. So you like to see the big picture, okay? And you like to just sort of observe from long distance things. Maybe you don't like to get involved. You enjoy being a little more free. Mm-hmm. You like your freedom a lot. Yeah. You don't like to be controlled. And you do like to take risks in your life. Think about that. Does that apply to you if you want to be that... ability to fly superhero? Next is time travel ability. Now, this is one that comes up a lot because, you know, you see all those Back to the Future movies and all those time travel. So this means you're interested in the causes of things and how past mistakes can be used to shape the future. Maybe you're looking at your own past mistakes or things you should have done. How many times have you said, oh, I wish I had that to do over again? Right? Wish I could have do that one over again. And also it means you're very curious about how people live, how different people live, how the past has shaped the future in your life. Maybe you're a historian, right? Maybe you like to read a lot of autobiographies about geniuses or how they changed the world, you know. So you might be somebody who's really into scientific research or, you know, a job where you can affect the future. So that's with time travel there. That's what they say psychologically, supposedly, a little bit of a profile, if that would be your ability that you would like to have. Another common one is invisibility. Invisibility, you tend to be shy. Would you like to be someone who just can disappear and be like that fly on the wall and spy on everybody, find out what people are really saying? Now, that's a really cool thing. Don't you think it would be really cool to be able to go to the White House and listen to those meetings? Yeah, wouldn't it be fun? All those secretive meetings, all of those, you know, high profile. Well, how Hillary is prepping for her debate. How old Trump is prepping for his debate. Wouldn't it be fun just to be invisible, find out things. So that means usually that you tend to be shy or a very keen observer. You like to know everything that's going on around you, right? And also you may be a little bit not paranoid. I want to go that far, but I want to say that you're a little scared or a little worried about what other people think of you. So if you could just kind of disappear and go into those places and find out what those relatives who you don't keep much in contact with really are saying about you. And just kind of go invisible. Okay? So supposedly they say that some good careers, by the way, for folks who want to be invisible as a superpower should be, you know, like a writer, an artist, or private investigator. Of course, that's a no-brainer. You want to just be watching and just kind of finding out information behind the scenes. You just want to be invisible and gather information. So that's the thing about invisibility. I kind of think that's really cool. I like that. As a psychologist, I really am drawn towards that. But then on the other hand, I'd feel kind of weird about snooping and being an observer and a little too, might hear things that we don't want to hear. So that might not be too good. Number four, having X-ray vision. That's another superpower that a lot of people say. Now what? Okay. X-ray vision. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's brought up in this study of superpowers that people would like to have. You know, you can see through a house what's going on. You can see through someone's clothes, kind of kinky. You can see through, actually, I don't know. You can just find out what's going on with people because you have that X-ray vision, what they're doing in their homes, what they're doing in their buildings, in their offices, and their... So the deal about, supposedly, about people who would like to have the superhero ability to have X-ray vision is that they'd like to see through problems. They want to go to the heart of an issue. Okay? They supposedly enjoy finding problems that other people can't even see. Right? You enjoy solving problems, basically. So, you know, they say that maybe you're in some kind of medicine or math or solving problem, physics. You know, skilled problem solver jobs, X-ray vision. Okay. Does that apply to you? Another superhero power, which is really interesting to me, is the power to change forms. Yeah. People who can shift. Shifters. And that's really cool because that's been brought out a lot, you know, the shapeshifters and all that in the sci-fi movies and stuff. So if you would like to have the power to change forms, that means you are a sociable person who really likes to fit in. A chameleon, as it were. You know a lot of people like that? They can sort of fit in everywhere. They're chameleons. You know, they can just like kind of go into an environment and become one with that environment, even though it's not sort of who they are to the core or what they do. They can just sort of fit in with everything. Also, if you like the superpower to change forms, sometimes that means that you would like to be admired by a group wherever you go. You'd like to be part of. And you're fascinated with other people and how they live their lives and other, whatever they are, other groups, other diverse individuals. You're really fascinated with fitting in without being discovered. It's kind of another invisibility, kind of a superhero power, but it means more that you want to be admired by the group. You're a real crowd pleaser because you can meld into any situation that way if you can be a shapeshifter. So that's a pretty cool superpower. Another one is mind reading, right? The ability to read minds. The superhero ability, which means you're pretty good at guessing what other people think. You're always fascinated with what are other people thinking. Sometimes you can see behind what they're saying by reading the lines. You can read their body language. You're more interested in what people really are saying. And also, on the other hand, you might be a little negative about people. If you want to be a mind reader, maybe you want to really find out what people mean and feel that they're not giving you the reality of how they are. So you'd really like to find out what's going on. I like the mind reading thing too. The other superhero ability would be the ability to see into the future. And that's kind of close to the time travel thing, but this is more like being more psychic. I think that's kind of a burden sometimes, but it's cool because then you can dodge certain problems, maybe, or tell your friends and loved ones about how to dodge those problems. But people who would like to have the ability to see into the future as a superhero power usually are very creative, and they love adventure. Love adventure. Yeah. they also would move right into the future if they could. People are always looking at what might be possible and wondering how to make it happen sooner. So a lot of the techies, a lot of the folks who are out there, super creative individuals who are geniuses right now, they want to move into the future, man. They want to see into the future because they want to get a jump ahead to how to create their property that they're going to sell. It's going to be way ahead of time. So another superpower, which I really am not down with because I think it would just cause a lot of chaos in our lives, and that is the superpower hero of super hearing. I don't know why people would want to be super hearing everything that's going on around them or long distance, tune in and tune out. But that means many times that you pay close attention to sounds and patterns. You'd like to be fully informed about what's really going on around you. You're one of those really fascinated people who are fascinated with, everything that's going on in the news. You want to soak everything up. You want to read everything. You want to find out what's going on. And also, you may be a gossip. You like that gossip. You want to dish a little bit. You're a little nosy. But if you have super hearing, you get to really find out what the deal is. And again, that kind of fits in with invisibility because you can kind of peek on what people are doing and saying and things like that. X-ray vision, that's sort of a peeping tool too, which a lot of these are related to. But if you wanted the superpower of having super hearing, you might be a really good reporter or gossip columnist. You know what I'm saying? Of course, that also applies to anything dealing with sounds. If you want to hear really well, you might be an excellent musician, and you can hear all these different patterns. You're a genius. So there you go. Those are the top 8 superhero abilities that I researched that people would like to possess, and what they possibly mean about you. And Joel, with all that, I really appreciate you emailing me and asking me that question. And maybe that's what your therapist was getting to. I'm not quite sure what your therapist was getting to, but I think those are just some of the ideas that I researched. And then that therapist might be able to find out more about who you are, Joel, as a person. So if you want to be a certain superhero, then it'll reveal more about you and what you want. And that was really cool. I love that. Thanks again, Joel, for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We're also taking your calls today at 323-203-0815. And we're answering questions you may have. Of course, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but what I'll do is give you suggestions and ideas, things like that, that might be able to help you out. So without further ado, let's take a call. We have a listener on the line. Hi, who's this?
Jack. Yeah, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing fine.
Good. Fine. Well, thank you for calling.
I like to talk. I would like to fly.
That's you'd like to fly. Why would you like to fly, Jack?
Because then you can go places and do things, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Ooh, that's kind of, I never looked at it that way. That's a good idea. That's a way of looking at it.
Can do great things,
Well, for sure. So you're more coming from a superhero kind of handle things place.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're more of a caregiver kind of guy.
Yeah, well, I think so.
You take care of business for people. Well, I like that.
Yeah.
And how about...
The reason why I'm calling.
Oh, okay.
I have something else that I've been causing some problems in my life for a long time.
Okay.
And it's my self-esteem. I have very low self-esteem, and I don't know how to fix it.
Oh, okay.
How do I fix my self-esteem?
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think you have self-esteem problems? What's going on with you that makes you feel bad about yourself? I mean, are there people who are putting you down?
When I go to parties and business functions, and sometimes I have to speak in front of people and things. It causes me great trepidation. I
Ooh.
Get very embarrassed, and my voice starts wavering, and I start shaking, and I start sweating, and it gets a little embarrassing.
So is that more about social anxiety, do you think, or is it more about like you don't think people think highly of you, so you beat yourself up or something about your ideas, about what you think you should be? Is that where you're going with this? Because, I mean...
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. I never thought of it quite like that.
Okay.
That's a good angle.
Yeah.
That's a good angle.
Has anybody ever told you or said, you know, something like, oh, you know what? You're a great guy. Stop feeling down about yourself or whatever.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that might be what it is. It could be both. You know, a lot of people who have social anxiety, you know, have issues with public speaking. You know, there's that little voice, that shyness or something. And there's also that bit of low self-esteem that goes with it, because you don't want other people judging you because you judge you. So the whole thing is, you know, the voices within you that are saying you're not whatever enough. So, again, we don't
That's what really hurts.
Oh,
is that people say I'm too hard on myself.
Well, yeah. That's most people who have low self-esteem are too hard on themselves, and they have to back off a little bit. They really do. But, you know, something always kind of stimulates that in our lives. It causes it. It's the beginning of, you know, what causes us to have low self-esteem. So
I always thought being hard on yourself was a good thing.
No. Look, there's a difference between being responsible for yourself and others who you love, you know, taking responsibility, owning things that you may do to hurt others, or being able to be assertive and share with others, you know, what you need from them respectfully or whatever. And a difference between just, you know, not liking who you are, beating yourself up for certain things. So it all starts, you know, when we're younger, I think. I mean, we're not just born with low self-esteem.
Right.
So we come into this world and, you know, we're an environment, and we have certain families we're usually not going to choose to be born into. So is there anything when you were growing up, if you don't mind me asking, I don't mean to be too intrusive here, Jack, but anything going on that made you feel bad about yourself when you were young?
When I was young?
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying you're not young. I don't know how old you are.
I guess my dad was hard on me. My dad had his own issues. Too long to get into right now, but basically it was, I think it was my father.
So what were the messages?
That I wasn't good enough, I guess.
Huh.
That my brother was better, and that's pretty much it. In a nutshell.
Yeah. So you were that kid that was kind of picked on in the family. So you have a brother, and is he an older brother, younger brother?
Yeah, older brother.
Okay. All right. So he was sort of the golden child in the family?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so you were the guy that was, you know, could not live up to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so what you just told me is your dad was critical of you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you were not good enough. And how did you cope with it when you were young? Were you the good boy, or were you a rebel, or were you a victim? How did you sort of... You were the good boy. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, believe it or not, I have a lot of patients who... you know, their coping style was to be the good kid.
Yeah.
Right. Don't walk. You got to walk on eggshells. You got to know exactly what to say. Kind of become a people pleaser and stuff. But the thing is that that's a much more successful sort of personality style than the others when you grow up. So that person that wants, but it can get in the way if you're a people pleaser and you want, you always worry about what other people think and you don't think you're good enough. But basically, that coping style of being the good guy. Yeah. Makes your life a little bit easier.
It seems like the older I get, the more these ghosts from my past swoop in and makes me remember things.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily good things.
Right. But you would remember a scene maybe of you and your dad and how he would be yelling or criticizing you or something? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why do you suppose these things are creeping into your life now?
Oh, there's a lot of things happening right now in my life that that are just tough to deal with. So
okay. So when you have, when we have a lot of crises going on, when we have things that are happening in our lives, sometimes it stimulates similar feelings, right? So if you have criticism going on or you know, you're overstressed, you're in a work situation, your boss is nasty, or your employees are nasty, whatever situation you're in, or if we start to have lack of control issues, where, you know, if we have health issues or whatever, and it all fits in with our feelings about who we are. We do tend to kind of start, as we get older and more mature, we start to analyze, which is a good thing in a way, but it sort of can feed those negative feelings. So maybe what you're doing is kind of going back, like you said, you're feeling those old criticisms that you experienced, and it hurts. I mean, you're definitely doing that. So the thing is that I think it's really important for us to not deny. I mean, I think we have to feel things, feel it. But don't let those old memories connect with what's going on now, in that don't let it beat you down. Because we can all, you know, get sick. And coming up in a little bit, I'm going to answer a listener's question about stress and what that can do to you. But I think you have to...
Can you give me one thing?
Yeah.
I know time is of the essence.
Yeah.
But can you give me one thing that I can do when I'm stressed out and I feel like I'm shaking inside and I'm weak and I'm tired? Is there one thing that you can give me, one piece of advice that you can give me?
I've got a lot of quickies, but I'll tell you one really good thing to do.
To a good quickie?
Chill yourself out. It's a quickie. And this has to do with, do you have time during the day that you could just take like a 15-20 minute break in your work day? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what you have to do is, to manage the self-esteem stuff, to manage this stuff, sometimes you have to keep changing. You have to keep on top of your neural patterns, because you're used to old. You're refueling those old neural patterns of, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not quick enough. I'm not successful. You're excuse me. She didn't hit the cough button. I know. You're not refueling those old, you know, you don't want to keep charging those old feelings, because the more you do, the more you're creating the neurons that create more feelings. And it's just like a constant building up of these patterns of thought. So you've got to sort of in some way try to train your brain to eliminate those thoughts. So sometimes using like imagery and relaxation, you know, and you got to get yourself out of that world. In your brain, because sometimes the brain doesn't know the difference between actually being in an office or actually being in, let's say, what's your favorite place? You tell me, what is your favorite place to go to?
My favorite place to go to is the beach.
All right, Jack. So your brain doesn't really know the difference. If you can sit in a room and go into your mind and sit on that beach, your favorite beach, go there, feel it, imagine it, embrace it, feel the sun, feel the wind, breathe that air, talk yourself into being there, laying on that beach. The brain doesn't know the difference between you sitting in that little room and being on the beach. The brain goes into, what am I thinking about? And gee, I really am there. So a very potent method of managing a lot of your, you know, anxiety about your low self-esteem is going into a relaxed place and writing down before you do this some ideas that where you can talk to yourself, like, I am good at blank, whatever it is. I am very smart. My father was wrong. I am okay. I can speak well. You know, whatever those positive affirmations that you know are true about you, you go into a relaxed state and then you put those words out there for yourself or repeat them in your mind when you're relaxing. So each time we can take those 15-minute breaks to relax, whatever it is, music, calm music, go to the beach and go in your mind. Each time you can do that, you're changing up those thoughts of, oh my God, I'm no good. You're training your brain, in essence, to go the opposite. And we can't think of bad and good at the same time. So the more you think of good, the more your brain will get into, I am okay. Doesn't matter what other people think. I'm a good guy. I've done this in my life. I'm doing this in my life. Look at all your accomplishments. A big pat on the back for you, man, for being so brave, as a matter of fact, to call into the couch. I really appreciate that, and thanks for being vulnerable.
Well, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you. And that's a step out of, you know, not having low self-esteem. The fact that you called me and reached out, that's taking care of things. So obviously you take care of business.
Well, I try.
Thank you so much for calling. Hope I helped, Jack. You have a wonderful day.
You did. Thank you, Doc.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now. All right, guys. If you want to call, 323-203-0815, you have any ideas or suggestions for Jack. And or if you have some emails, you have some more questions, give me a shout. Yeah, you can do that straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. just to give you some quick and dirties also about self-esteem, guys. I don't know, Jack, if you're still listening. You sounded like you had to get out of there, but you know, what you got to do is really identify some of the troubling conditions or situations, some of the common triggers, you know, that are bothering you. Some kind of presentation, things coming up that are triggering some of those low self-esteem. I'm not good enough. My family doesn't like me. So you got to really kind of identify those. Become aware of the thoughts and beliefs, okay? That self-talk, that little voice in you, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be good enough. I'm never successful enough. That little voice, right? And you have to challenge your negative or inaccurate thinking. Challenge it. Wait a minute. I am not that. So some of the things we do, we have negative thought patterns, and they really keep eroding our self-esteem. So we have that all or nothing thinking. If I don't succeed in this task, I'm a total failure. Well, I'm a failure. We have mental filtering. You see only negatives and dwell on them. Right? I made a mistake on that report, and now everybody will realize I'm messed up and I'm not good for this job. you reject your achievements and other positive experiences by insisting that they don't count. See, these are all the little voices that the people with low self-esteem put into their heads from whatever, maybe like Jack's situation, his upbringing. Little voices saying, you're not good enough. Another thing we do is being aware of how you jump to negative conclusions. In other words, you reach a negative conclusion when little or no evidence supports it. And one of the most common things I hear every day in my practice, every single day, there's not a day goes by that I don't hear one of my patients say, well, my friend or my boyfriend hasn't replied to my email or my text, so I must have done something wrong to make them angry. They don't love me anymore. Not true. Another just sort of self-esteem downer thought is when you mistake feelings for facts. A lot of us confuse feelings or belief with facts. For example, I feel like a failure, so I must be a failure. You know, I feel bad, so I must be bad. That kind of thing. Stop it. Negative self-talk's another one. We all do it. We all do it. We all undervalue ourselves. We put ourselves down, or, you know, those little voices. And a lot of us have that voice. I don't deserve anything better. So you got to whatever you think, write those negative things down. All those little thought patterns that erode self-esteem that I just suggested to you, write the counter statement to that. In other words, the all or nothing thinking, you may say, if I don't succeed on this task, I'm a total failure. You write, it's not a biggie if I don't do the best. I tried my best, but I'm still good at what I do. So what you have to do is write down, and I really encourage you to, in your memo, in your phone, on your, whatever it is, handwrite it. Some people like to use the pen. Write down the counter thought to that and read it every day. You know what? I'm not a failure. I do pretty well. I am up for this job. I'm going to do the best I can on this test, and it doesn't mean I'm a failure. My friend hasn't replied to my email, probably because they're really busy. It's not about me, right? And I do deserve better because I am a good person. So, sorry, I'm getting a little heated here. I get very passionate about this self-esteem stuff. But I really want you to think about those things. And again, thank you so much, Jack, for calling in. Really great to hear from you. And like I told Jack also, you can use imagery, too, to go to your relaxation place. And, you know, when you input all these positive sort of counter statements, you know, I do deserve. I am not a failure. I'm a good. When you're relaxing, it's a lot more easier to learn stuff when you're in a relaxed state. A lot of people go, I can't meditate. It's too hard. That's okay. I'm not into, like, totally checking out and meditating and, oh, it's hard to do. But if you have, you know, music that can get you into it, or I like to listen to sounds of the ocean that'll help me get into it, or, you know, streams or whatever. You can find those all over the place. Put those earbuds on and you're in, you're at the beach. You can just escape. I thank you guys so much for emailing me. And we also have some stress busters here for you, because I got an email here from Rochelle, and she says, I work with the public in a retail store. She says, a lot of times people are nasty and angry. They're so uptight, and I feel very stressed. I take on people's emotions easily, and it just destroys me by the end of the day. How can I manage my stress dealing with the public? Rochelle, that is a great question. I think we all have it, huh? I mean, unless we're, you know, homebound, we don't really deal or go out with people. You know, most every day we're going to see people. If we're driving, forget about it. It's a mess out there. People are taking out all of their unresolved issues in their car. And they're PO'd and they're, hey, if you guys live in LA and you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. Not Louisiana. Los Angeles. It's crazy out there. You don't flip the bird to anybody on a Los Angeles freeway. Nope, you don't do it. It's crazy. How do we deal with people out there if we're working in the public, if we're in retail, if we're in a store, if we're whatever the job may be? All of us have to work with the public per se, but when you're working as a service person, no matter what, you got to chill out. You got to protect yourself and not succumb to other people's stress. And it's easy for other people to take it out on us if we're working out there in public, because we're strangers. We're not family members or people who are going to come back to them. So what you got to do is you got to think about this, I guess you call it a research study. Let me tell you about this. You got to think about your health. So, Rochelle, I'm going to help you kind of think about how you can not take on other people's anger and stress. First of all, let me tell you about what it can do to you. This will scare you. You know, stress, stressors. Those stress hormones can mess up our bodies. I don't know what your age is, but at any age, we can start releasing negative stress hormones, which can make us sick. It lowers our immune system when we take on emotions from other people, when we're being battered with, you know, people who are stressed and yelling at us and accusing us, or we're not fast enough, or it is what it is.
You can't take any of this personally. But what can happen is that your immune system can become weakened. A lot of people attribute even cancer to a massive amount of stress sometimes if they have the lowered immune system or the propensity to be weaker. We can have panic attacks, anxiety disorders, and, of course, high blood pressure, which can lead to heart problems, things like that. So in a 2-year study, I always like to go to the studies, I was reading of 115 New York City traffic cops. I love this. They put blood pressure cuffs on 115 New York City traffic cops. Now, come on. What would be like the most stressful job? What do you think? Well, I think being a traffic cop would be really tough, especially in New York City. So what they had is these people monitoring. Oh, God. They had these people, all these scientists sitting around monitoring when the cops were having conflicts with the public. And they were monitoring their blood pressure. How could they do this? I don't know how they did this. But what happened is they found out that the blood pressure and heart rates were highly significant, much more significantly higher if they had work-related conflicts with the public. And the effects of taking their blood pressure after that, at the end of the day, and the next day, and the day after, lasted long after the confrontations ended. So, on a constant daily basis, Rochelle, of you being battered by people yelling at you and screaming, you have to learn how to protect yourself. You have to learn how to say, it's the public, I'm not taking this personally. This is what people do. And you need to take your time doing your tasks, not feel like you have to be pushed because you might make a mistake, or then people will yell out. You do the best you can. And we know that, like, dealing with stress from the public is related to heart disease. And like I said, that is caused from high blood pressure. We can get anxiety disorders. We can get depression because we feel like we're being beat up on. So what you have to do is you have to learn how to just not take this personally. Chill out and relax and just be the nicest person you can. Now, if we have a lot of unresolved issues ourselves and we're working with the public, we're going to be nasty. I mean, how many times have you dealt with certain public workers that just have an attitude and they're nasty or they're detached? Their way of working is just like, meh, meh. Not caring, just acting lethargic and all that. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to really think about how to just not take things personally, do your job, and say, that's fine, no problem. I'm so sorry you feel that way. I will do this. And if it gets too weird and someone's harassing you too much at work, you go to your manager. You go to your supervisor. Okay? And that's the way you deal with it. Okay, and you try to keep calm. Do some of those things also that I suggested to Jack a little bit earlier. Taking time out for yourself to image yourself into a relaxed place that makes you feel good. Jack said he went to the beach, so we kind of talked about him going to that place as often as he can when he gets really stressed. When you take breaks, and you've got to get enough rest, but dealing with the public can really, you know, kind of mess you up. It's just a given. And it's the public. It's not personal. It's just people have issues and they take it out on strangers. Try to remember that and just take care of yourself. And the reason probably why you got hired in the first place in your store, Rochelle, is because people like you. Okay? So just don't take stuff personally. I mean, it's easy for me to say, I know, when you're being battered by people all day. But that's the way it is. Okay, so here's the thing also. It's funny. I got a couple of emails about managing anger. There was an interesting little article I read. You know, the whole gossip thing. We'll go to gossip right now about Angelina and Brad. One of the reasons why she just had it enough is enough, supposedly, is he was out of control and he had a little too much to drink and he was like screaming and yelling at the kids or something. They were getting on his nerves. So I don't like the gossip thing, but I was reading that they've had sort of differences in the way that they bring up the kids. And this is one of the common things that I see in couples therapy. One parent is usually more authoritative or authoritarian, and the other is just the opposite. So you've got someone who is good. You got good cop, bad cop going on many times with the parents, with the kids. And if you argue about that in front of the kids, it kind of messes the kids up. You know, you got to talk about these things quietly and be on the same page as to how you're going to raise your kids. You've really got to work this out, have compromise, and read studies about really healthy ways to raise kids. So the thing is what I'm getting to make a long story short, is that, you know, there was a lot of anger going on, supposedly, between Jolie, as she's a strong-willed person, I understand, and also Brad, both strong-willed people. But after a while, things come to a head, and we have to just learn how to chill out on our anger. Because one of the most common things I have with couples is he gets so angry, or she gets so angry. She cusses me out. She calls me all these names. And I can't deal with it. That really hurts me bad. It hurts me deep, Shrek. So let me give you some quick and dirty tips, because I have several emails on how can I handle my anger, or how can I help my spouse or partner not be so angry all the time, because it hurts me deep, Shrek. So let me just throw this out real quickies. You got to explore what's really behind your anger. Okay. And a lot of times the anger problems are often coming from what you've learned as a child, as I was telling Jack a little bit about his low self-esteem. So if you watched others in your family scream or act out, hit each other, throw things, you might learn that this is how anger is expressed. Okay. So traumatic events and high levels of stress can make you more susceptible to anger as well. So you got to kind of look at what's really behind your anger. What did I see growing up? What was going on? How was I allowed to express my anger? Mm-hmm. I want you to also be aware of your anger warning signs and triggers. All right? You might feel that you just explode into anger without warning, but there are physical warning signs in your body. And anger, by the way, is a normal physical response. It's the fight or flight. It's the old brain, right? But the angrier you get, the more your body goes into overdrive. So you got to be aware of some of your personal signs, all right? Because that can really mess you up. Of course, it can make us sick. We've talked about that, you know, before, about things that can really make... What are your triggers? And then you work on those triggers, you know? It's like, am I really defensive because I don't think I'm worthy or good? And then my partner kind of brings up those things and then I feel really bad. So you have to look at some of those things about yourself in order to manage your anger. Okay? So those are some of the best things. And also learn how to talk to people. When you're really angry, you notice those signs. Express yourself. I'm feeling angry because I think you said that I'm no good, or I think you're judging me, or I think you're... Just be honest and open and tell your person rather than exploding. You got to work on that, though. You got to think about it. Why am I feeling this? I'm feeling... Define it. Low self-esteem. I'm feeling like they're judging me. I'm not good enough. Define your triggers. You don't have to defend yourself sometimes. You don't have to blow up and freak everybody out, because people don't want to be with you. People go away. So, you know, I'd also recommend a good anger management therapist who really, you know, is on the ball about that. Those are just some ideas for you guys, okay? I really want you to think about those things. And I thank you all for emailing me today on the couch and giving me such great questions. I thank Jack for calling in about his low self-esteem. And if you have any questions or comments, give me a shout here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And thank you so much, guys, for listening. It's been a lot of fun today, just answering your questions. You can always do that. Love to hear from you. All right, this is Dr. Michelle, and stay here on LA Talk Radio for more stimulating and exciting, irreverent, and cool talk. Be back next Friday at 11 a.m. We're going to be talking about helping more of your self-esteem, getting in touch with your own issues. All right, have a good day. Bye-bye now.
Flash.